You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we focus on answering listener questions. And if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how you can submit that once we get to the end. This is episode 12 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be addressing a question that was submitted by the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast question submission form. And this is about, has to do with a congregation that has drifted into apostasy and how we are to react to that or how we are to treat that congregation. When this happens, when a congregation drifts into apostasy, are we to warn others about that congregation? Are we to make it known that that congregation is now no longer standing for the truth? And if we do that, how are we to do it? Is there some official designation? Or is there some way that is specified in the scriptures? Really, that's what we're focusing on, that tells us how to do it. The person who submitted the question described a congregation that had gone off and was accepting error and various different things, and wanted to know if that congregation ought to be marked, and used that term for marking this congregation. Should that be done? And it's a good question, because there are congregations that do depart from the faith. What are we to do with these congregations? Well, there are a few basic principles that we're going to be looking at as we go through this episode. Number one, we do need to understand that congregations can drift into apostasy. Churches are made up of imperfect people, so it is possible for a congregation to drift into error, just as individuals can fall away from the faith. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, when Jesus addressed the seven churches of Asia, most of them, five of them, were rebuked for having some problem that existed there. The church at Ephesus was rebuked because they had left their first love. Pergamum was rebuked because they were welcoming false teaching or accepting false teaching. Thyatira had one who was promoting immorality, and they were accepting that. The church at Sardis, the Lord said, "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." And the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. They believed they needed nothing from the Lord, that they were fully sufficient without the Lord in the state that they were in. And the Lord said, "Because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." Five of the seven churches had problems that needed to be addressed. Some of them were more far gone than others were, but all of them had something that they needed to change, that they needed to address. Congregations then, we understand, can drift into apostasy. And so these congregations that needed to make some changes, need to fix something, the Lord said, if you don't repent, now I'm going to come and remove your lampstand from you. This lampstand, the book of Revelation is filled with symbolic language. And the lampstand was symbolic of their standing before the Lord. And so if the Lord was going to remove the lampstand, it meant that they would no longer be recognized as a faithful congregation. They would no longer be recognized by the Lord as His church, as His people. And so, first thing we need to understand is, yes, congregations can drift into apostasy. The second thing we need to understand is that the New Testament teaches us to mark the unfaithful. Now, when it talks about marking, what does this mean? It means identifying the one who is unfaithful for the purpose of warning others, so that they are acknowledged, that it can be acknowledged and recognized that they have departed from the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the one who continues in sin and refuses to repent. In that passage, there was one who was engaged in immorality that was not even heard of among the Gentiles. Paul told the church in Corinth, you need to remove this one from your midst. He's in sin. He refuses to repent. They needed to acknowledge that. They needed to mark him for that. those who do not follow the apostles' teaching. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, one does not follow the apostles' doctrine, you are not to associate with that person. Those who teach false doctrine, the passage over in Romans chapter 16, and we'll read that passage, Romans chapter 16, because this is where we get the get that language of marking or identifying someone. Romans 16, verse 17, it says, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those," or mark those, "who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." They are deceiving people. They are leading Christians astray. Keep your eye on them. You mark them. John wrote about in 2 John verses 9 through 11 that if someone goes beyond the doctrine of Christ, do not have fellowship with them. Because if you have fellowship with them, if you receive them, or even if you give them a greeting, you are participating in their evil deeds. And so the scriptures teach that there is marking that is to be done. But in every case that we read about this, all of the individuals who are, or all the ones who are being marked, are individual Christians. It's not about marking churches. Well, then, does that mean that we can mark churches, or something else we need to consider? Well, the third point that we're going to notice is that back in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, where he addressed the seven churches of Asia, Jesus said he would remove the lampstand from these unfaithful churches. That recognition of being a righteous or a faithful church to him, he would remove the lampstand if they didn't repent. And so when these churches were warned, he addressed the seven churches of Asia, five of them needed to repent. Jesus was going to be the one who would do this. And only Jesus is qualified to do this, because he is the head of the church, as Ephesians 1, 22 through 23 says. He is the righteous judge. Paul talked about this in 2 Timothy 4. He says, "The Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me the crown of righteousness." And he is all-knowing. There's nothing hidden from him. Romans 2 and verse 16, Paul says that the secrets of men will be judged by the Lord. There's nothing hidden from him. We don't have this perfect knowledge that he has, or perfect insight into everything that is going on. He is the one who can remove the lampstand from these congregations. So then the fourth point is that when we look at the New Testament, there is no, quote, official way for Christians or for churches to mark churches that have gone off into apostasy. There's no way for this to happen. Now, we need to remember, as we look, we are to mark individuals. That's talked about in the New Testament. But there's no description about how to do that in regard to churches. And we need to remember the basic principle of Bible authority. We won't get into it a lot here. In the show notes, there are several different articles that are related to what we're talking about here. One of them is on Bible authority. It's titled "What" or "By What Authority?" And if you read that article, it'll go into this in more detail as far as how we establish authority, or how can we understand what the Lord authorizes by looking to the New Testament. And as we look to the New Testament and we see what is authorized, we can see that the Lord authorizes something by commands, by telling us to do something, by examples, by showing through what was approved by the example of the apostles, or he might imply something. He might make an implication through which we draw necessary inferences. And in that article, it goes through the example of the Lord's Supper and how we can see what is authorized regarding the practice of the Lord's Supper, how it is done, when it is done, and the setting and all of that. But all of this has to do with what the Lord tells us to do, what he shows us to do, and what he implies for us to do. So you have all of these things about how we establish Bible authority. Well, there's no command for us to mark churches. There's no example of Christians or other churches marking a particular congregation because it has gone off into apostasy. There's no implication from which we can draw a necessary inference that this is to happen. However, that being said, it is appropriate to warn others of harmful influences, which is what is being done in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. That letter was going to be sent to the various churches, the seven churches. And so there would be a warning, not just to, well, one church at Ephesus receives the message for Ephesus. They all receive the same message. And so the church at Ephesus would hear about the church at Thyatira, the church at Laodicea, the church at Sardis, and all of those. And all of the churches would hear about all of the other churches that were being addressed. And so there's nothing wrong with warning others about some problem that we know about in a certain congregation, whether it's a weakness of that congregation or a congregation has drifted into apostasy. I have done that. I know other brethren have done that, about we are aware of a situation and we warn someone who is possibly going to or planning to attend that congregation. That can be done. But there's a difference between warning in that sense and some official declaration that we can determine when this lampstand is being removed from this congregation. Those congregations that needed to repent in Revelation 2 and 3, they had a chance to repent before their lampstand was removed. We don't know when that is. And so we can't make that judgment call. But we can warn when there is a negative influence, either of someone who might go and become part of a particular congregation, or if that congregation has some influence in the area that we are in or that other Christians are maybe affected by that, we might warn on that in that way. But there's no official way for this to be done. And then final point I want us to think about for this question. We need to avoid what we might call intercongregational relationships. Now, when someone hears that, they might think, well, that you're just teaching isolationism, that we should be isolated from one another. No, this isn't isolationism. This is not where Christians of one particular congregation should have nothing to do with Christians from other congregations. No, we should be interacting with other Christians. We should have contact with other Christians, visiting the gospel meetings of churches in the area as they welcome sound preachers to preach at those meetings. There's nothing wrong with that. That ought to be expected. That's good for that to happen. But there is no way for churches, no way for churches who are following the pattern in the New Testament to have fellowship with one another. If we understand what fellowship is a joint participation in a particular work. Well, there's no way for that to happen. And there'll be more resources in the show notes because we don't have time to get into it here. But there is no connection between churches. Local churches, as they're described in the New Testament, are autonomous and they are independent or self-sufficient. You don't have churches tied together. There's no organic ties between churches. And so this may be one thing when we think about, well, should churches be marked? Sometimes when we think about this and think that churches ought to be marked, maybe we're expecting too much of a tie between different churches than there ought to be. Now, I don't know who the person was who asked the question or what church it was that they were asking about or the situation that exists there. So I don't know if this is the case with the one who is asking the question. But I think if we have too much dependence of congregations working together in a way that is outside what is authorized in the New Testament, then this becomes an even bigger issue and a bigger problem that has to be addressed. Because when churches are not autonomous, and there's one of the articles that's linked in the show notes, is the blessings of autonomy. is that when churches are not autonomous, but instead are tied together and dependent upon one another, what that does is when there is a problem, when you have a church that we wonder, well, should that church be marked because there's a problem there? It's a lot easier for that problem to spread from one church to another rather than being isolated or quarantined, if you want to use that term, in that church. Because when there's no autonomy, error can move a lot more efficiently from one church to another. The influence is going to be a lot stronger there. And so this is a, you know, the opportunity to think about this point as well, that maybe we need to step back and not expect churches to be tied together the way that has been done in a lot of times and in a lot of places. Take a step back and reconsider that. And so as we draw this to a close, it is disappointing. And it's sad when congregations that were once faithful and standing for the truth, when they depart from the faith, sometimes this happens gradually, often probably happens gradually. Sometimes it might be abrupt and we don't really see it coming. But it's sad when it happens. However the circumstance is, whatever the situation is, it's sad when it happens. And when we see this, we should not be a part of it. We should not have fellowship with that church. And if we are members of that church, we need to try to do what we can to steer it back. And if we can't, then we need to find other brethren that we can work with and have fellowship with. And we may warn others about this too. Those who might be involved in that church already, or those who may be going to become part of that church or be influenced by that church, we might warn them, and it'd be good to warn them. But there's no official way that is described in the New Testament for us to mark local churches. But it is a reminder for us that if other churches are not doing what they ought to be doing, we need to make sure that we are faithfully serving the Lord in our own congregations. So can we or should we mark other churches? There's no official way to do that. We can warn of negative influences, but there's no official way for churches to be marked as we read about it in the New Testament. Individuals, yes. Churches, we don't see that in the New Testament. If you have a question for a future episode, there are a few different ways you could submit it. One, you could fill out the podcast question submission form. There's a link in the show notes. You can go to plainbibleteaching.com/podcast and either go to this episode, or if you're listening to this in the future and the most recent episode you go to is not this one, whatever the episode is, you can click on the link for the question submission form and submit your question. Another way you could do that is to send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page. And you could also tweet your question on Twitter, @PlainBibleTeach. And there'll also be links to all of this on the website. So that's all we have for today. In the next episodes or future episodes, we're going to be talking about other things. We have questions about the head covering, questions about Bible translations, and other matters that have been brought up. And then, of course, if you have a question to submit, we can consider that as well. But I want to thank you for listening, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.